Many people are disturbed when they see roadkill, but I get a little bit excited. I'm not some sick freak that gets off on dead things. I just run a bone jewelry Etsy shop. I source my bones ethically. I don't have the guts to hurt living beings, so I usually find them in forests or on the side of the road. You have to treat bones carefully. They once were alive, and I think they still hold their essence. My work honors the creatures. I hold small funerals for each animal I come across. I light some candles and incense, play some soft music, and say a small prayer. I'm not religious, but it seems like a respectful thing to do. Ribs make lovely pendants, as do vertebrae of smaller animals like badgers or rabbits. With more significant pieces like jaws, I like to create tiny holes to hang crystals held by wire, and depending on the size, they can become wall decorations or necklaces. My most significant find has been an entire and intact rabbit skull, which I found alongside some damaged and cracked spine and rib bones. I like to decorate them with special paints and crystals, and sometimes I'll keep them plain by request. I have regulars who will ask me to keep certain bones for them in advance. For example, a user, Fioruan, has been requesting a deer skull for around 5 months now. Unfortunately, Formby is known more for our red squirrels and natterjack toads. There are only a few sites within the UK where natterjack toads breed, a unique sales point. Whenever I come across one, my jewellery sells almost instantly. If you've never seen what a toad skull looks like, Google it. They're adorable. About 6 days ago, I went on my bi-weekly walk around local forest. Formby is wholly covered in forests and woods, so I cycle between the ones I visit. Naturally, the longer I leave visiting, the more bones I find, but I like to collect them as fresh as possible to treat them. As for the roadkill, friends and family members message me to alert of any locations, which is a big help. I had about given up on a decent find, when I spotted something between the brushes. I wasn't sure if it was litter or a bleached branch, but I found a complete deer head when I pushed back the branches. It was strange though. Not only was it completely intact, it wasn't a roe deer skull. It wasn't like any deer skull I had seen. Its head was a strange shape and was much sharper near the mouth and nose, and the antlers looked mostly moose-like, while roe deers had thin, branch-like antlers that protrude from the back of their head rather than the side. I took it. Of course I took it. The day I refuse such a beauty is the day I check myself into a retirement home. I couldn't believe my find. I didn't bother looking for more bones. I rushed straight home. I took a few pictures of the pristine skull and did a Google reverse image search, and each matching picture led to a moose. Nothing about this skull seems similar to the fallow deer, which reside in the UK too. None of its features matched any of the 6 species of deer which belong here. It wasn't real. It was like somebody's faux skull decoration. After cleaning it by soaking and then brushing it with a toothbrush and washing up liquid, I shamefully did the tongue test. If you don't know, bones stick to your tongue. This has saved me a lot of time in the past. Where did you come from? I found myself asking it, as if it would be able to move its jaw without muscle and share with me its origins. So, I brought it up with some online friends who enjoyed taxidermy, until I got an answer from my Canadian friend, Ashley. Ashley confirmed it was a moose, which technically is a species of deer. So, that was one question answered. But I was still left wondering how it got here. I messaged Fioruan alongside a picture of the moose skull. Not many people consider moose and deer to be the same thing. If he didn't want the head, I was free to decorate it as I wished. Fioruan met me with negative energy. He told me to place it back as it wasn't like any deer he had seen. I reminded Fioruan he lived in Ireland and our species differed, but he seemed adamant that the skull was trouble. I pressed him for answers, unsure if he was just freaking out because he wanted a more traditional white-tailed deer skull. But he blocked me. I didn't dare ruin the beauty of this moose head. No paint would justify it. But I found a beauty in wrapping wire and crystals between the antlers. Part of me wanted to keep it, but I figured that I would place a listing for it. And if I were really against selling it, I would refuse it if anyone wanted to pay the £475 price tag for it. I gained multiple messages about the moose head. So many people curious how I came across it in the UK, most convinced it was fake. Despite the beauty of it, I struggled to find somebody with an actual interest in it. A day after my find, a new account named 53.561852-3.086349 messaged me. I almost ignored it, as the preview of the message seemed like a template for a scam. However, in the end, I read through the text, and the user kindly requested that I return the skull where I found it, or face the consequences, which sounded very cliche and cringe to me. The user went into detail about protecting the forest, and I may have skipped over that part because of how ridiculous it was. That night, I went to sleep. I had trouble at first, and it felt like I was just lying down for a really long time. But just as I was drifting off, the loud smash of glass caused my eyes to snap open. In the darkness of my room, illuminated by the soft glow of streetlights through the gap of my curtains, I saw a strange figure. The figure wasn't human. Whatever it seemed malnourished and sickly. The figure moved around my room as if looking for something, and when it turned to the side, I saw that it had four legs rather than two. I couldn't move. Not that I wanted to anyway. I tried to search for a way to distinguish the being which occupied the space in front of me, and when I looked for a head, I found none. I accidentally let out a small gasp. The front of the being turned towards me, and I immediately closed my eyes. When I opened them again, inklings of daylight leaked into my room, with no sign of the animal which visited last night. On my floor was a smashed glass bowl of miscellaneous bones. The bowl usually sat far from the edge of my dressing table, but had found its way to the floor. I wondered whether what I saw was real, or maybe we had a small earthquake. That day, I had extreme luck with finding bones. I found freshly dead red squirrel, so I packed it away to decompose later. I'd also found what I thought to be a fox jaw. There was something strange about the atmosphere, though. The air had a strange feeling, one similar to just before it rains. The humidity was almost suffocating, despite the 4 degrees Celsius weather. I still felt odd, as if there was something else to add to the peculiar feeling. I was sure I wasn't being watched. I would have heard footfall if I were. These forests are full of debris on the floor. You couldn't sneak up to somebody, no matter how much you tried. I found the body of another squirrel. This time, its bones were somehow ground to dust by somebody, except for its head. Just as I bent down to examine the head, I noticed a white figure to the left of me. I thought nothing of it, but it disappeared when I turned my head. This anomaly happened multiple times, and the majority of the bones I found were destroyed too. When I took the squirrel home, I did my usual process with dead animals, but blood came oozing out the white dust when I carefully cut open the hide. I thought it was infected, but I noticed it was the bones with a quick examination. "What the hell?" I mumbled under my confused breath. Had everything just been trampled on? I was sure the squirrel had bones when I collected it, as it didn't flop around when I picked it up. I did a small ritual for the squirrel, and then disposed of its body. I moved on to finish some of the foot bone earrings, but those were ground to dust too. Every bit of my bone collection had turned to dust, except the still decorated moose skull. I received another message from that user, but this time it was a short note, telling me, "There's not much time." I ripped the wiring and crystals off the skull in a rage and threw them across the room. I intended on returning the skull the next day, as it was nearly nightfall and the forest I found it in was far. That night, I fell asleep to a Netflix documentary. When I opened my eyes, I was in a dark forest. Despite the lack of light, I saw clearly. I tried to lift myself off the ground and found myself peering upon two fluffy paws. I was a rabbit. I had complete control of my head, but the rest of my body refused to listen to my mind. It felt like I was glued into place. I watched as a large, bony creature crept around the area in front of me, its movements slow and graceful. I recognized the animal from the head. It was a moose, but instead of its normal fur, it was skeletal. Soon, I heard scuffling from the side of me. In the corner of my eyes, I saw a fox, crouched, ready to pounce. The moose watched on with its hollow eyes as I waited for my demise. I felt like I had sat for a century as the fox readied itself. Just before I could close my eyes, the fiend hopped on top and dug its sharp teeth into my back. It burnt and hurt like no pain I'd ever felt. The vixen shook my figure around aggressively as the moose watched on, knowingly. When I woke up, I was sweaty and frightened. I was so traumatized by that dream, I had to turn on my light. There was no way I could go back to sleep. It was 4:30 a.m., not long until daylight. I tried to shower to soothe myself, but as soon as the water hit my back, I recoiled from the pain. Finally, I was able to use two mirrors to be able to get a good look at my back. Not only were there bite marks over the two sides of my back, but it was painted with multiple, fresh scratch marks, too delicate to have been done by human nails. I didn't bother finishing my shower. I rushed into a set of clothes, soaking the fabric with water and blood, and gathered the skull. Due to my speed, it took me less time than usual to get to the forest. I threw my bike down at the entrance. I had difficulty finding the area due to the dim daylight that broke through the sky and tree line. I found myself stumbling over rocks and branches which littered the forest floor. I heard trampling behind me, the sound I can only describe as hooves on soft dirt. I didn't have to look back to know what was following me. I picked up my speed and dodged upcoming trees. I used my free hand to push myself off to create more momentum and increase the distance between us. I could feel the being right behind me and heard the wind fly through the gaps in the bones. Its front hooves threatened to trample me. I got to the same bush and threw myself into it, and I used my body to protect the skull and quickly placed it, ignoring the pain which pulsed throughout my body. The forest was silent. Not even the coos of birds dared to echo in this space. But I knew it was safe. Now I know not to mess with things that don't belong to me.